I'd like to say that it's really a privilege for me to be here. I always consider it a great privilege each time that I go into a prison. We've done this a number of times, prisoners in different places. And to me, it's a special privilege. We preach to a few people, sometimes minister for hours to one person, and sometimes we minister to thousands of people in our crusades and on the radio and TV. And tent meetings, auditorium meetings, even here in the United States. But to me, one of the greatest privileges is to minister to the prisoners. That's one of the greatest privileges. Jesus said, "And in that day, I will say unto you, I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. And they will say, when saw we thee, Lord, like this, and visited thee not? And he will say, that inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me." So, knowing that the Bible teaches that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then that means that we belong to the Lord and we are the Lord Jesus' body members. In particular, Paul tells us, even though we be in prison or wherever. And a lot of times, you know, we look around, we see all of the walls, and we think, these walls and these fences, they separate us from the rest of the world. But I think Rick, who's a very wonderful person to me, having met him for the first time here, I think that Rick will assure you that being a minister and traveling around, that the walls are greater, a lot of times much greater as to denominational barriers, and forms a society than it is as to these walls of separation. I appreciate the good things that David said, but David didn't tell you that he's also a minister. He accompanies us and some of the others around the different parts of the world. These boys that you see with us are some of the finest fellows in the world. They work with us there at Bethlehem, and we have so many multiplied people there, men and women, of black and white, of Spanish, and of all different kinds of people. We have a good time in the Lord. We believe in the things of God. Tonight I've chosen a real simple message, just something to exhort you a little bit, to encourage your faith a little bit, so that unless it was the Lord, I wouldn't get into the deep, deep water. Because the Bible says, great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery. And Paul said, I am made a steward of those mysteries. And inasmuch as God is the invisible God, and he's the God that you cannot see, then that means that it is a mysterious thing to try to get acquainted with God, because you cannot see God with your natural eyes. It tells us there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, as to naturally speaking, but on those 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, you still cannot see God. Bible teaches that God is the great light into which no man can approach him, no man is seen or can see, and Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. He alone hath immortality. You know and I know that we're saved by the grace of God. And I know that a lot of people misconstrue grace to the extent that sometimes they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, that is to say, doing the spirit of grace is when the blood is on the seat of atonement in our behalf. We find that doing this period of time, men, they do the things they want to do. They just go out and live it up and do like they want to, and they're contrary to all godliness, contrary to all standards of goodness as to what God would have them to do. And they become the enemy of God, alienated in their minds from the great, wonderful, heavenly wealth of God. And they live in a mind of vanity. Like Solomon said, Solomon of old said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, he said, and vexation of the spirit. And when you really get to know God and you learn about heavenly treasures and you get exposed to those things, as Paul said, such one being caught up into the third heaven, seeing things it was not even lawful for human beings to utter. When you see those things, then you come back talking like Paul of old did when he said, and I feel that the things of this world are not even to be compared with the heavenly things. He said it to be in bondage, as to your mind of vanity, to be in bondage to the beggarly elements that's in this world. Paul said we shouldn't do that, because we now have made known to us from Calvary the manifold wisdom of God and that heavenly treasure that we now have in these earthen vessels. See, for instance, you are here in confinement, which seems like a bad thing, and it is a bad thing. If you've ever had a taste of it, you know that it's bad. But on the other hand, it can be a good thing. It can be a correctional thing that has stopped you and turned you around when you might have gone on to a disaster, and you might have died at an early age, and you might have went into the flames of the fire. Folks, let me tell you, that's a whole lot worse than being in prison. Because in this, there is a release. Someone would say, well, what if you have life, Brother Pike, and you can't get out? There's still a release. Even if you go to the electric chair, there's a release. Because there's death. But did you know the Bible teaches that during the tribulation period in this present world, that death will be lifted and they'll beg to die and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain and misery? And they won't even be able to die. God will lift death. That death will be a means of escape for those people. And he tells you and I to pray always that we may be counted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. So, when I say this, see, you can die out of prison. You can end it no matter what. But folks, according to the Bible, it speaks of the fire that is never quenched. And it speaks of a human being. It's God saying, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee, referring to you and I as just the worm in our first stages of life. You know, like the butterfly, a worm, then the cocoon, and then we go through that heavenly flight to meet God. You understand what I'm saying? See, so I said those things to say this, that you have opportunity here. You have opportunity here. See, you can convert here into a good thing, into a great thing. I've heard some testimonies from prisoners that have become ministers, some of the greatest ministers in the world. And they never would have become ministers had not they faced the situation as they did and God turned them around. Is that right? You ever heard of that? It's true. Some of the greatest, and they're leaving great impacts upon the lives of humanity. So here, being in confinement, you can study, you can learn, you can pray, you can fast, you can seek God, you can get filled with the Spirit of God. In that God is the Spirit, the Bible tells us to be full of the Spirit. And we can get filled with the wonderful Holy Spirit until, as David of old said, our cup will just run over. So I say this to you to point out a few things, and that is, remember Paul the apostle, who was the Gentile apostle to the Gentile church? He was imprisoned. He stayed in prison a number of years. And did you know that from the prison came many of the things that Paul did as to his greatness and as to the Pauline epistles that we now have today for our instruction and our guide? So then, folks, you're not as bad off as it might seem. People that are out of the world are free to go and to do all the time. And they are so wrapped up with buying and selling and eating and drinking and prestige and frolic and passions and all these things until they're being eaten up like worms eating a dead dog. The devils and demons, the invisible forces of spirits are literally eating them up. Parasites are filling their bodies. And they live an entire lifetime and still they're not aware of the fact that a parasite has lived their life and that they themselves has been exiled or imprisoned in their mind or spirit and never really had an opportunity toward life. Mary Magdalene, 7 devils in 1 woman. Can you imagine that? The man in the tomb had a legion of devils. He said, my name is Legion. When Jesus said, what is thy name? He said, Legion, for we are many. And power of evil spirits so great that the Bible records this, that he actually breaks chains. They put chains around him, but it popped the chains. They could not bind him, not even with chains. See, the spirit of evil, the spirit of Satan, those things, the spirit of Lucifer, that powerful. Whereas on the other hand, we take Samson. When the Spirit of Almighty God came upon Samson and the lion run out and roared at him, he just reached out and got him like he would a little goat or a little kid, as he just said. And the Bible said with his supernatural strength, he rent him as though he had been a little kid or a little tiny goat. See, so we know that supernatural power, supernatural beings, they're present. You don't see them. But as to hear, the Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Which means Christ is here tonight. Christ is here. You know, not only is he here as a comforter, but when Brother Pike turns and goes outside, and David Paul and the others, he'll still be here. All through the night, he'll be here with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And any time that you're in problem, all you've got to do is call on him, and you'll find him there. So there's one thing about it. Though walls may separate people, it never separates a man from God. He's always your friend, and he's always a present help in the time of need. Mother can't come and dad can't come. And a lot of times, folks, let me tell you this. A lot of times it seems like people don't care for you when you get into places like this. I hope it's all right just to talk to you like this, isn't it? Like, you know, here, a lot of times people don't come and it seems that they don't care. But they do care. See, if they don't care, why would a young man like Rick spend his life here with you? What has he got to gain in being here? And yet he's interested in helping you and consoling you and bringing you the Word of God. And he'll have a great reward in the day of judgment. You see a lot of people around you that look like they're important. And these guards are important and people are important. They do have to have institutions because we get off base in life, especially young folks. You know, but the thing is, in the day of judgment, it'll be men like Rick that's important and people like you. Someday, if you live for God, you'll stand there in the presence of God as a son of God in the brightness of his glory to outshine the brightness of the noonday. And these people around you as guards and whatever won't even be in remembrance. They'll be no more. They'll be gone. Because unless they too give their lives to God, then there will be nothing in the day of judgment to God. Only those that serve God, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you don't have him on the inside of you, you will mean nothing. In that day, you'll just pass away like a shadow. But folks, if you've got Christ on the inside of you, you're going to be a son of God. You're going to be a dignitary in heaven. And you're going to be a celebrity in heaven. You won't be a prisoner. You'll be a celebrity. It doesn't matter what your past was. It's wiped away and it's gone. There won't be no remembrance of former things in that world. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. You know, I said the other night, I was singing a song there at the church. And we sing this song on, what is that song, Beyond? No, not that one. I thought about that another night. But this is the one where the angels are playing their harps and singing, you know. Anyway, I was singing this song, or we were singing it as a choir, you know. And the land beyond the river. And I said, just think. Just as soon as we set feet on that side over there, and we hear the beautiful, beautiful chimes of the golden harps ringing out, and the wonderful atmosphere that we feel of that light, wonderful exhilaration that completely eradicates every oppression, everything that Satan does to try to trample down the mind of humanity will be gone. And then we see the beautiful color around her, that wonderful rainbow thing that will be about the throne, the beauty of the streets of gold, the gates of pearls. Just think, can you imagine what that would be like? And you knew for sure that that was your home and that was the place you was going to be. I tell you what, I get the thing like Paul a lot of times when I tell my congregation, I say, folks, I'm like Paul. I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. I've done learned enough about the spiritual world and I've done entered into the spiritual world enough and I've done seen things and had things revealed to me that I have a longing to be with God, which is far better. If you've never been over there and you've never seen it, you don't have too much longing to go over there. But like Paul, when he was caught up into the third heaven and saw these things, after that he said, folks, let me tell you something. He said, all of the things of the world are nothing but beggarly elements as to be compared to those heavenly treasures. rich treasures to the knowledge of God and the spirit of life that you yourself have within these earthen vessels. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
See, I would say to you, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And I would say, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And you, of course, really genuinely call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get your new birth. You get born again. Or Christ comes to live on the inside of you. Then you have eternal life. Remember this. Always remember what Brother Price tells you right here. When you are born again, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Now then, if I had about 2 months to talk with you, I could explain some things here that would make your heart leap like raindrops. Because when I tell you that you have eternal life, I know the general run of things today and things that are said even religiously, and people say them with all confidence, all assurity, that they are right because I've done it. But I came to learn some things, a whole lot of things that we don't learn until we get a little farther down the trail and get a little more acquainted with heavenly things. But folks, let me tell you, when you get eternal life, you've got eternal life. And let me tell you, you've got it from now on. You ain't never going to lose it. Never. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid I'll lose it. You'll never lose it. You'll never lose it. Someone would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Park, that I can come in eternal life and then never lose it? I'm telling you that if you ever get eternal life, you'll never lose it. Think now. When you say eternal life, what does eternal life mean? Doesn't that mean that you've got it eternally? If you don't have it eternal, how could it be eternal life? Like Adam and Eve in the garden, did they have eternal life? No. No. They were illuminated by the presence of God, created out of the dust. But they did not have eternal life. They were only in the presence of eternal life. And as long as they would have abode within that, they could never have died. But see, not having it in their heart, the beast enticed them. And they were led out from the presence of God, and then death set in, and from that time death has taken man. Remember, death is not of God. You know, we'd like to blame God with the problems that we have, and we'd like to blame God with death, but death is not of God. The Bible said death is the enemy of God and the last one to be conquered. But it says death came by man. Man is the cause of death. By not listening to God, he said, the day that thou eatest that, thou shalt surely die. Not listening to God, then death came into view. So we know then by that that God is our friend. God is our life. God is not interested in death. God does not want man to die. See, why is Rick here? Why am I here? If God wants me to die, why does he send the minister? Because the minister is going to tell you that you can have eternal life. That proves to me that he's on your side and he's on our side. And the glad tidings of great joy is that there's a Savior born and you don't have to die. I like that, folks. I like that. You don't have to die. I'm going to read just a little bit and talk to you a few minutes. I'm not going to hold you long. And we're going to let you go. It's a real privilege to be here and talk with you, like I said. And we were over the last time over at Burris, is it? What is it? Albertus. We have a crowd of folks, and they really enjoyed the wonderful things which were done. And of course, Sister Dale, she is a tremendous piano player. Beautiful. And they had the girls singing there, had the choir and whatever. And we had a wonderful time. And Rick tells us that they're going to have facilities one of these days to where we can bring some in. And they wouldn't let us do any video. We wanted to do some video, you know, to get some of you guys on TV. But they wouldn't let us do that. But they did let us do quite a number of other things. But who knows what the future holds, you know, if we keep on walking with the Lord. It's people like Rick that's given his life to these causes that will eventually cause facilities to be here to where this thing can blossom out, and it'll change the lifestyle of many of you fellas here. Many of you fellas, Christians coming into these prisons, and people being born again in these prisons. After a while, see, God will have a reason to be here in the prison. Isn't that right? The more people of God that he has here, the more reason he has to be here. And the more reason that angelic beings that minister to heirs of salvation and for heirs of salvation have reason to be here. Isn't that right? And after a while, you'll have a wonderful time, even in prison. Like they said over there at Alboris, Some of them sent us words, said, since you've been down here, said a revival is breaking out in this prison. And said it's affecting even the guards. And the guards were testifying to it. I'm going to read just a little bit. Just a few minutes. You know how preachers are. Sometimes they get exuberant, you know. But try to hold it down just a little bit. And I'm just going to exhort you a little. So we're going to read from over in the book of St. John. Jesus is talking to a woman from Samaria. Now, he had passed this way, going through Samaria, and here at Sychar, there was a well called Jacob's Well. And he was wearied from his journey being a man, and so he just stops by the well, and he's going to rest a little while. Now, I've had the privilege to be in the Holy Land. You know, to a lot of people, God is just a myth. They don't know there is a Holy Land, that there's a tomb of Jesus and these things. But I've been there 7 different times and fixing to go the 8th time unless the Lord stops. So as a matter of fact, we're fixing to buy land in old Jerusalem inside of the old city of the old wall where the tomb of David is. And of course, this is an impossibility really to be able to do that. But God has worked a great miracle for us. I say an impossibility. They say it's not impossible to be able to get anything there. But God is working out for us. And I said that to say this. We've been around these wells and different things over there. And here, Jesus, weary, tired like you. He's just a man, you know. And he sits down on the well. And he's wanting a drink of water. And all of a sudden, here comes a woman of Samaria. And she goes to draw water. And Jesus says, can you give me some water? She starts a conversation and she said, how is it you being a Jew talk with me, a Samaritan? Because the Samaritans didn't have any fellowship with the Jews. They didn't have any conversation. But you know, Jesus wasn't one of those denominational things that we see in the world today. Where he met human beings, he talked with them in fellowship. So then, sometimes, you know, they want to make you an outcast because you did that like they did Jesus. Rejecting Jesus as that cornerstone, yet he became the head of the corner. But here he says to the woman, you know, I'd like to have something to drink. And she says, all right, you don't have any bucket to draw any water with, and the well is deep. But she questioned him. See, here in St. John, she questioned him like this. In the 4th chapter, in the 13th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, he goes on down, and the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly, because Jesus was her prophet, remember. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh in it, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay, so here, as the Lord is speaking, the woman suddenly, her sins is brought to her remembrance because he is the Messiah. And he's able to look into her life and tell her things, all kind of things of her past. and he understands her life. And when she realized that he understood her life, then she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And so then, with this, she said, "Give me of this water, that I do not have to come here to draw or to come here to get drink." And Jesus said to her, as you and I, "This is a well of water, a well of water that's springing up within you and I, for out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. So this water that's on the inside, it's with you. You never get thirsty. Never get thirsty. When thirst seems to be coming over you, you just start saying, "Lord, help me. Be with me, Jesus. Lord, I don't have anybody." And all of a sudden, you'll feel that water. It'll begin to spring up. And on the inside, you'll feel that verbal inspiration going throughout your body. And you'll feel that broken, contrite spirit. You'll melt down, and all the nerve fatigue will lift. And the healing virtues of Almighty God will begin to move the pressures and move the sickness. And the assurance of a stability within you, of Christ within you, the hope of glory as the faith. That faith of Christ will begin to rise up. And you'll hear something talking to you as a consolation of that great Holy Spirit. A comforter, the Bible says. And when this present heaven, the time of me, begins to rise up, then all of a sudden you'll feel that feeling of relaxation. And no matter where you're at, you can be in the confinement of a little place. I've been there in tight confinement of a little place. Or you can be there in a great open area wherever. It's the same. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that feeling of exuberance that makes life worth living. Folks, let me tell you something. You can have all the wealth in the world, and that doesn't suffice. That doesn't suffice. Solomon said all was vanity. Vanity and vexation of the spirit. Though he had many wives, though he had much power, though he ruled the world, though he had all money, the Bible said he actually gathered gold like dust. Had all of this, but with all of this, when he lost out with God, he didn't have any happiness. So let me say this to you. You may find wealth in the world. Some of you may get out of here and become great men, which God would like for you to do. And you may find wealth, which God would like for you to do. The Bible said, "I would, above all things, that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's God's attitude toward us. Without respect to person, what I say to one, I say to all. And the Bible said, "It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow. Saying, I will give thee the desires of thine heart, if thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of thy beds in the time of thy sickness. If your ways please me, I'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. They'll come out against you one way. I'll make them to flee before you seven ways." He said, "Ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever ye do shall prosper. That if you'll confess your sins and forsake your sins, whatever you do shall prosper. But he that covereth his sin, the Bible said he shall not prosper. For the Bible said, he that walketh in the perfect way shall serve me. But if he be deceitful and if he be wicked, he shall have no fellowship with me." So then, I'm saying this to you here. God within you can get you out of this prison. I'm talking about the right way, folks. We've prayed and God has got numbers of people out of prison. We prayed when people have been in there for years and seemed like they had no hope. And the people that loved them, they came to us and asked for prayer. And we prayed and within a few weeks, they got out of prison. Now you say, how? For this reason, the Bible says that God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God rules in the affairs of mankind, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. The Bible said that the preparation of man's heart is from God, which means all God's got to do is prepare the heart of them on the parole board. He said, I hold the king's heart in my hand, and I turn it whithersoever I will, like the rivers of water. When you pray, now listen real close. The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass. Command thou me concerning the works of my hand, he said. And he said, ask what you will in my name, and I'll do it. And he said, everyone that asketh you, receiveth. Everyone, no respect for person. Ask what you will, he said, and I'll do it. Folks, let me tell you, when you're confined in here, you've got a better chance to read this Bible. Faith cometh by the hearing of these promises. And what that promise says, if you believe it in your heart, if you keep on wrestling with that thing till it strikes your heart, that's it. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus said, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart. And he said, and it'll come to pass. And he said, and whatsoever you say will happen. Now, you have a great opportunity here, because where others are filled with frolic and mixed up with all kinds of things, you are kept away from a lot of things that could be detrimental to your soul. And while you're here, you could be growing in the Word, the knowledge, the grace of God, and developing this faith till you could become so powerful that you just walk right out of prison. Come on, folks, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Did you know that Jesus walked right through the walls? And did you know that when Peter and Paul and them was in prison, bound in chains, and God didn't like what some of them had done, he sent an angel down there and he grabbed that prison and he shook it up and all the doors flew open. Isn't that right? He shook it till, I tell you what, Peter even thought he was dreaming. When the angel said, bind on your sandals and come with me, Peter. And did you know the people that was praying for him over at Rhoda's house, when he walked up in front of the house, she ran out and she said, Peter's here. Oh, they said it must be his angel. Even though they were praying for his release. God had done abundantly above all that they were able to ask or think. And because of that, they couldn't even believe what had happened. And old brother Paul down there at midnight, bound in chains, him and Silas. And they begin to sing, glory to God in the highest. And they begin to make melody. And the Bible said at midnight, they begin to sing the songs of Zion. And they had trouble, God, till he sent an angel down there, shook that thing, and all the prison doors flew open. And the keeper of the prison was fixing to commit suicide, because he knew that he was in trouble. All of them prisoners. But did you know that God was so good and so kind as to spare this man's life that was over the prison, that not one prisoner lived? But I'll tell you what, they sure got old brother Paul out of there quick. They released him real quick, and they said, Paul, said, get him out of here. Said, well, we don't need you around here. Paul was after testifying, even to those in the upper echelon. No, he said, those in the upper echelon, they put me in here. Said, tell them to come down here and let me out. They want to testify to him. And the big, big boys, they came down, you know, and they said, Paul, you know you can go. Oh, brother Paul, he testified to him. I think that's wonderful, don't you? Paul knew the scriptures so well that when he stood before Agrippa, the great men of that day, they said, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. Said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Well, anyway, getting back to this thought and dropping this one thing that we did a few minutes ago. A lot of times you fellows have been fine down here, and it appears that no one cares for you, because they don't come to see you too often. But brethren, let me tell you something. The institutions of this world, they make it so hard that people can't get into them. I'm telling you, I've tried numbers of times, and had it not been for being a minister, having certain connections as Rick has here, we couldn't have got in. It isn't that they don't love you and don't care for you. That's not what it is. But see, there's one thing about it. God is putting men like Rick here, bringing me in and others different places, and we're having born-again Christians right in prison, and these things are going to change the situation. And after a while, it'll be different because it's getting more easier. And more easier as these men work, it's getting more easier. Rick will tell you he has to tolerate a lot of things, but he goes on. I've watched him since I've been in here. I've watched the wisdom that he uses in his fellowship and relation to be able to keep this here so that he can get to you. A lot of people never notice it, but I'm a minister, and in discernment I can see it. And I think it's wonderful the way he handles it. And he uses boldness when it's necessary, and when humility is required, is to keep his position, whatever. Until the advantage comes, Rick takes that right, which I think that is nothing less than wonderful. I want you to stand with me. Look at this wall of water. I'd like you to stand with me. I'm not going to keep you long. We have a long race to drive, and I know you fellas have to get up in the morning early. This weather's just enough to try to tap the throat of a preacher, especially when you preach as much as I do. We're on TV 6 times a week, and that means I have to stay behind it just to keep the TV programs, numbers of radio stations. And we're fortunate to the extent that our literature is in practically every major language of the world. We've ministered around the world, traveled around the world. But still with all of this, though I dread airplane rides because they're so long, I love to go preach to the people. But with all of this, there is nothing that is so thrilling to my heart as to coming into a prison and being able to talk to you fellas and talk to my brethren in the Lord. So I really thank God for the wonderful privilege of being here. I want you to do something for me now. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now someday, Rick and I, David, the others, Sister Dale, someday along with you, we're going to be standing before our Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? Before the Heavenly Father, there's no race or creed. There's one people, that's his beloved. Isn't that right? We preach wherever we go, whether it's to the Japanese or the Chinese, or whether it's to the Indians, or whether it's to the people here in America, to the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man, whatever we go and we preach to. And we have wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that write us. They love this ministry. We love this ministry as to the Word of God. It's precious. Words of spirit and words of life. Now remember, I said to you tonight, now is the hour when we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Paul said, the God whom I serve with my spirit. How many of you know that God is the Holy Spirit? God is the Holy Spirit. So then, in that God is the Holy Spirit, our spirit needs to be holy too. So we give our spirit to Him. The Bible said, be holy in spirit, in body, and in spirit. So he doesn't just want us to be holy in spirit, but he wants us to be holy in body. He saves us while we were yet in our sins. He so loved us, he gave Jesus to die for us before you ever knew him. And now the blood on the seat of atonement, he has sent people like Rick and others to minister to you, to call you to this wonderful supper of Christ, that he might give you eternal life. All by grace. You don't do anything. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. But the thing is, you know, you go out and you say, I need a job. The man says, okay, I don't know you. You're a stranger. But I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a job. You don't have to give me anything. I'm going to give you a good paying job. But now after he gives you the job, he expects some things out of you. Isn't that right?
Right.
Now, you didn't have to do those things to get the job. You got the job before those things. Isn't that right? It's like a man that is a murderer. He goes out and murders. Somebody said he murdered a man. He's a murderer. But see, that isn't right. He was a murderer before, or he had never murdered the man. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? A man's a thief before he ever does that. Isn't that right? Sure. And those are spirits that get a hold of human beings. Did you know that God never made a human being a murderer? He's never made a thief. He's never made a robber. Did you know that? He made them human beings and spirits, invisible forces, has taken advantage of them, of me, of you, and people throughout the world. Because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray, and every man has turned to his own way, and God has laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. Having been bruised for our transgressions and the chastisement of our peace being upon him, by his stripes we're healed. So then we're here by grace. We're going to call on him by grace. And we're going to ask him to save us. And he's going to do it because we believe and we honor his word. To believe that if you call on him is faith. He said, call on me, I'll save you. Call on me in the time of trouble, I'll deliver you. So if you call on him, see, that's faith, that you believe what he said. Or else you wouldn't call on him. So you're saved by faith. That's through the grace of God, not of works, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But brethren, when you do this and Christ's Spirit comes into your heart, from then on the inside, Christ has been formed in your heart. And you'll start making a change. You'll start transforming in mind and thinking different. Your desires will start being different. And then your deeds will start being different. Isn't that right? Amen. Does an apple tree bear apples just to prove that it's an apple tree? Or does the apples come on the branches because it has an apple nature? See, the seed that was planted was that nature. Now that we're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, we don't have to do good works. We automatically will find ourselves desiring to think right and to do right and to treat our fellow man right and to respect even these powers of authority as guards, as magistrates, whatever. But at the same time, we're going to believe in our heart that Christ will open the doors to us. Isn't that right? All right, let's lift our hands up together and let's pray. Now I want you to pray with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to thee with all humility, acknowledging thee as the great and mighty God. One God, one faith, one baptism. Lord, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name.
Lord, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name.
That you forgive our sins, Heavenly Father.
That you forgive our sins, Heavenly Father.
And that you save our souls.
That you save our souls.
Let thy lovely Spirit come into our hearts right now, Father.
Let thy lovely Spirit come into our hearts right now, Father.
May we be filled with the great Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father.
May we be filled with the great Holy Spirit.
And may our minds be transformed into thy wonderful way of life.
May our minds be transformed into thy wonderful way of life.
That we may give our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. To glorify thee in our body and spirit. Help us, Heavenly Father, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
To the full measure
of the full stature
of the Son of God,
going on to perfection,
to receive
a full reward.
We thank you, Father, for keeping your word.
Thank you, Father, for keeping your word.
And for salvation.
And for salvation.
We now believe, Heavenly Father.
We now believe, Heavenly Father.
That we are sons of God.
That we are sons of God.
And you are our Heavenly Father.
And you are our Heavenly Father.
By virtue of the works of Calvary.
By virtue of the works of Calvary.
And the blood that was given in our behalf.
And the blood that was given in our behalf.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you give the Lord a hand as rich?
Brother Pike and fellow Pikes, is that right? And the rest of the group, I just praise the Lord that you were here tonight, that it all worked out. And I tell you how the Lord works, that they were brought my attention by Kenny, by their ministry. So God brought them to us. through his work and his work in Kenny's life and his desire to see them bring their message to you, God's word to you. So, we always hear it, God works in mysterious ways, and God continues to work. He never quits, and neither can we, brothers. Our job is never finished. I was at a service today, one of our chaplains retired after 32 years of service right here in Reidsville, and one of the ministers was quoting scripture, and he was talking about Paul, and when he writes about having run the race, fought the good fight, and finished the course. He said, well, I wanted to take issue with Paul there because I don't think we ever finish the course. We can always fight the good faith, and we can always keep our faith and never lose our faith, but never, ever think you finished the course and you've done enough. There's always another person that needs to hear the word. Thank you all. God bless you. Go in God.